WCRI's Classical Kids Hour is sponsored in part by the Newport Music Festival with generous support from the Carter Family Charitable Trust.
This is WCRI's Classical Kids Hour. Whether you're a child, teen, young adult, or just young at heart, we hope to show you how amazing classical music is. You probably listen to classical music all the time. It's everywhere. In your favorite cartoons, TV shows, movies, video games, and so much more. During this show, you will enjoy lots and lots of wonderful classical music. Now, let's join our hosts as they get ready to take you on a musical journey into the world of classical music. Oh, we better go. I hear the orchestra getting ready for today's show.
Hello to everyone on this lovely day. I'm so excited to be here with Trevor Neal from the Newport Music Festival, who is back once again this week to bring you exciting classical music for your children's enjoyment.
Thank you, Jamie. I'm so thrilled to join you and the rest of our listeners at home as we explore the world of classical music.
I'm sure everyone at home is just as excited as we are to get started today, but first, let's thank our sponsors.
Absolutely. None of what we do here is possible without the generous support from the Carter Family Charitable Trust, the EJMP Fund for Philanthropy, and other generous supporters just like you. Thanks.
Now that we have thanked our very generous sponsors, Trevor, what exciting musical journey do you have for us today?
Jamie, today I want to share with our listeners who tuned in last week to a second Leonard Bernstein Young People's Concert. These live television productions that spanned the course of several decades was single-handedly responsible for the popularization of classical music in America for a new generation.
Oh, this is great. I learned so much on last week's episode that I'm so pumped to get this one started.
Well, this week, the maestro explains unique and cultural instruments from the past, present, and into the future. He examines each instrument's role in the overall ensemble and why some instruments present a certain mood. As we know, the maestro will be much more interesting than me. So without further ado, this is Leonard Bernstein's Young People's Concert, focusing on instruments of the past, present, and the future.
And here is Mr. Bernstein.
Thank you.
charming little piece is by the famous Brazilian composer Villa-Lobos. And as you must have guessed, it's a musical picture of a train. Or maybe we ought to say it's a musical cartoon of a train. It's called the Little Brazilian Local, or what we might call a backwoods milk train. Of course, the first thing you'll wonder about this piece is, how does that composer get a regular, ordinary symphony orchestra to sound like a train? In fact, how does he get the orchestra to sound so peculiar in general, so new and different from the way the same orchestra sounds when it plays Beethoven and Brahms? Well, let's see, because that's what we're going to be talking about today. Unusual new sounds and unusual old sounds, and the unusual instruments that make them. Well, one way Villa-Lobos makes the orchestra imitate a train is by using a very unusual bunch of percussion instruments. That's the noise-making department back over there. Special Brazilian folk instruments that make odd little noises, in addition to the usual percussion instruments we ordinarily use, like the kettle drum, the cymbals, the snare drum, and so on. For instance, he has a thing called a gansá, which is a sort of metal tube filled with a lot of pebbles, and when it's shaken, it sounds something like this. And then he uses something called chocayos, another kind of rattle, which is wooden this time with beans inside it, and it makes a noise like a maraca. Then there's the raganella, which is a sort of ratchet, the kind you whirl around when you want to make a real racket on New Year's Eve or on Purim. And finally, Villa-Lobos uses a reco-reco, which is a saw-toothed sort of vegetable, sort of a squash or a gourd that you can scrape with a scraper, and it makes this very South American noise. Now, all these different noisy things played together with the usual percussion instruments can make a sound very much like a little tired train trying to get started up a hill. Just listen. The really interesting thing is not so much that what those unusual percussion instruments do as what the rest of the orchestra does, the regular plain old symphony orchestra of Beethoven or Brahms. Because here, Villa-Lobos uses the same instruments everyone else uses to make train sounds that are absolutely new and different. For instance, listen to these violins. And you see that thin whistle sound comes from playing the regular ordinary violin way up as high as it can go, and by having mutes put on the strings to make the sound even thinner. Listen again. Then we can get another kind of whistle out of the flute and the clarinet, the same regular old flute and clarinet Beethoven used, but by having them blow into their instruments in a way called flutter tongue. That's brrrr, and this is the way they sound. Another whistle. Then we hear the horns and trombone imitating the puffing and groaning of this little train by sliding from one note to another, what we call glissando. And then we hear the squeaking and squealing of the poor little train as the woodwinds play way up high. And now comes another kind of whistle, more like a siren, as the woodwinds slide around in their glissando. And finally comes a tremendous warning whistle, made by everyone playing trills and scales as fast as they can. And all those groans and whistles and squeals and squeaks go on over a Brazilian samba beat. I guess you know it. But luckily, that beat is very much like the sound made by a train's wheels. So it all fits together, like this. So you see, most of these peculiar noises of the train are really caused by regular instruments of the orchestra, only playing in peculiar ways. And those unusual percussion things we heard before are only sort of Brazilian trimming, extra Brazilian noises. So we see that the most usual instruments can also make the most unusual noises. Now, of course, these modern instruments weren't always the usual ones. What we call usual instruments these days have changed an awful lot since the old days. And I'd like now to show you what some of them were like many years ago, way back even before Bach. But remember, these peculiar instruments you're going to hear from the past were the usual instruments of their own times. And the people who played them 400 or 500 years ago would sure be amazed to see what they've grown into in our time. They'd call our instruments unusual. For instance, take our modern clarinet and our modern oboe. Now, these two instruments, although they sound different, are very much alike because they are both long tubes of wood with holes in them. But the clarinet is played by blowing on a reed or a piece of cane, which is placed in the mouthpiece, while the oboe's reed is double. That is, there are two pieces of cane laid together, forming a mouthpiece all by itself. You hear the difference in the sound between the single reed, which is round and full, and the double reed, which is sharper and more penetrating. Now, both those instruments are descendants of an old instrument called a shawm, S-H-A-W-M, which was a word that used to apply to all woodwind instruments in general, no matter whether they had a single or a double reed. Now, this word shawm was originally a Latin word, calamus. Believe it or not, calamus, meaning a reed. And then it was changed a little by the French into chalumeau, which was changed back by the Italians into the word salmo, and by the English into chalme. You see how words change as they go from one country to another. Then the English, who love to shorten words anyway, changed chalme to shalm, S-H-A-L-M, which could also be pronounced sham, like calm or palm. And then finally, in good old British style, it became shawm, and was even spelled that way, S-H-A-W-M. Now, I'm not trying to give you language lessons here in Carnegie Hall, but it's important to know all this because the French chalumeau finally grew into what we know today as the clarinet, and the English shawm grew into what we call the oboe. Now, we're very lucky to have with us today three real shawms, those double reed great grandfathers of the modern oboe, and three friends of ours who actually know how to play them. Aren't they beautiful instruments? Now, these beautiful shawms are going to play for us an old Spanish dance. In fact, it's 400 years old, and it's accompanied by a tambourine. I think you'll be surprised at how powerful they sound. We always think of old-time instruments as soft and delicate, but not these shawms. Just listen. Thank you. hearing those instruments makes you feel as if you were really living hundreds of years ago. But now we're going to move forward in time about 100 years and listen to a wonderful piece of music for brass instruments by the Italian composer Gabrieli. Now there's a special thing about this piece, which is called a canzone. That means a song in Italian. Only this isn't sung, it's played by two small groups of four brass instruments each. The two groups play separately, answer each other sometimes, and sometimes even play together. Now here's what we're going to do. One of these brass groups is going to be modern, the regular trumpets and trombones from our own Philharmonic. And the other group will be made up of old instruments from Gabrieli's own time. But again, these instruments will be a high trumpet, which is called a cornetto in those days, and three old trombones, which were in those times called sackbuts. Aren't they beautiful instruments? They'd be beautiful just to have around the house as ornaments, but wait till you hear them. They sound just as beautiful. Could we hear a note on that high cornetto? It's lovely. But strangely enough, that's a brass instrument that isn't made of brass at all, but of wood. Figure that one out. Well, now let's hear the sackbuts one at a time. Now, we're going to have a blending of the old and the new as we join trumpet with cornetto and trombone with sackbut in Gabrieli's canzone for eight brass instruments. Fascinating to hear old sounds and new sounds side by side that way. gives us such a clear idea of the difference between olden times and our own times, just by hearing the sounds that were made then and now. Now, that's really the best and most exciting way to know history, not just by studying about dates and battles and who was king of what in which century, but by coming close to the art of history, by looking at the pictures painted by people in any certain period of history, or reading the poems they wrote, or hearing the music they heard. Then we can almost put ourselves in their place and pretend we're living in those long ago days. And then we really understand history, which is not just a dull subject in school, but an exciting way of knowing about what happened in our world before we were living in it. I remember that when I was a small kid, I had no interest at all in how the world was before I was in it. And I think that's true of most kids. But suddenly there comes a moment, maybe when you're 11 or 14 or 17, when you suddenly realize that there has been a big and interesting world going on for thousands of years before you were in it. And from the minute you realize this and begin to want to know what this world was like, from that minute on, you're on your way to becoming a thinking person, which is a really educated person. And so, because this is so exciting, this comparing of new and old sounds, we're going to do the same thing again now, but with other music and with other unusual instruments. This time we're moving up again in history to the 18th century, the time of Bach. And we're going to hear one movement from his fourth Brandenburg Concerto. Now, this concerto was written for a group of instruments something like this, a smallish string orchestra consisting of a few violins, violas, cellos, a double bass, and a harpsichord, and added to that three solo instruments that play their own special parts, the two flutes and a violin. By the way, all these guests of ours who play old instruments are members of the New York Pro Musica, which is a group that specializes in music of long ago. Now, this violin of Bach's time was very much like ours, as you see, only it had a much shorter neck and slightly different measurements throughout, inside and out. There are other differences in the way of playing it, but I won't bother you with all that now. And the flutes of Bach's time were also different from ours. The usual silver flute that we know here was just beginning to be used in Bach's day. But the flutes that were mostly used then were what we would call recorders, played not horizontally like this, but straight ahead, just like a shawm, only without a reed in the mouthpiece. Now, these recorder kind of flutes have a very different sound from modern flutes, much softer and not so brilliant. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to play the first movement of Bach's fourth Brandenburg Concerto, again, using these old instruments and our usual modern ones, sometimes one group, sometimes the other. The two groups will just take turns back and forth, and at the very end of the movement, they'll all play together. Just to make the difference really clear, we're also going to do this, that when the old flutes and the old violin are in the saddle, there will also be the old harpsichord playing along with them, and also this low instrument called a viola da gamba, which will play the cello part. Could we see that wonderful looking? Isn't that a beautiful instrument? Now, when our modern flutes and violin take over, we'll use the modern piano instead of the harpsichord, and our modern cello instead of the old viola da gamba. Is that clear? I hope so. I can hardly follow it myself. But anyway, here we go on our seesaw of history, back and forth between the old and the new. Thank you. So far, we've heard some pretty interesting sounds, old ones and new ones, but nothing really brand new. After all, the usual instruments of our modern orchestra have been around for a pretty long time. And even those funny percussion instruments we heard in the Brazilian train piece aren't exactly new instruments, even if they are unusual. They're folk instruments that have also been around a pretty long time. But what are really new instruments? The saxophone? No, that's been around 100 years or so, even before jazz was invented. The mellophone you hear in school bands, that's just another kind of French horn. No, the really new instruments are electrical ones, or rather, electronic ones. I'm sure there are lots of you who understand what that word electronic means. There have been hundreds of experiments going on in our time trying to invent an electronic instrument that will make a sound unlike anything ever heard before. And since composers are always wanting to make new sounds never heard before, some of them have tried doing it with these new inventions. For instance, there's one such invention called the theremin, which is used a lot in movie music, especially when they want a spooky effect or somebody's losing his mind. I'm sure you've all heard it, sort of ghostly, trembling sound. And that sound is made electronically without even touching the instrument with your hand. Then there's one called the Ondes Machtonneau. There are various ones. But the most important thing that's being done for new sounds these days is, of all things, the tape recorder. Now imagine an instrument called a tape recorder. But it is an instrument, only it doesn't need to be played with a bow or a stick or by blowing into it or hitting it. All you do is push a button and it's on its own. It's amazing how many millions of sounds you can put on tape. A whole new world of sounds, anything you want. Now there are two ways of putting sound on tape. One is by recording real sounds, like, for instance, a bottle breaking. Crash, tinkle, tinkle, tinkle. And then... Was that it? Ah, here's the tinkle. And then you take that sound and play it backwards so that you hear the tinkles before the crash. It's a weird new sound. Listen. That's an artificial sound that can exist only on tape. Or you can take that same sound and play it faster or slower or higher or lower, again making a new sound. Now that's that same bottle breaking, only much lower and slower. Now you can do these things with any other sound, talking or singing or stamping or coughing or anything you want. Then the other way is to make artificial sound. In other words, you don't record a real sound and then change it. You actually record pure tone that is made by a thingamajig called an oscillator. Now, this is all a very hard scientific business, and I don't know too much about it myself, but I have heard a lot of these sounds, and they're quite new and exciting. Just listen to a couple of them. That's pure sound. Now, we are actually going to play for you a whole piece using this strange instrument, a concerto for tape recorder and symphony orchestra. The music is by two composers. That's pretty unusual in itself. I guess one composer writes more for the machine and the other writes more for the human players, and then they get together and make a single piece out of it. Mr. Usachevsky is the one who is the tape specialist, and he will be operating the machine over there. And Mr. Luning is the other composer. He's going to be over here, and I guess he'll just be listening. Now, this is really new music. In fact, it's never been heard anywhere before, because it was especially written for the New York Philharmonic to play on this very program. Now, I warn you, it's way out. And it's also pretty scary, but don't be frightened by it. It's only music. Also, it may make you want to talk or whisper or yell or something because it's so peculiar, but please don't, because after all, it is music, even if it is way out. Here it is, the concerto by Luning and Usachevsky for tape recorder and orchestra. I feel as though I've been on a spaceship somewhere around the moon, don't you? That music really takes you into the future. At least it starts us imagining what music could be like 100 years from now. Who knows, maybe it'll all be tape music 100 years from now, which will put an awful lot of good musicians out of work. But luckily, we don't have that problem yet. Now, just to bring you all back to Earth from this space music we've been hearing, we're going to wind up today's program with a little fun, a bit of dessert. This is also going to be a very unusual sound. At least it's an unusual sound for a symphony concert, the sound of a kazoo. Now, there's nothing new about this instrument. I've played it for years myself. It's the simplest instrument ever invented. All you do is take this piece of tin, which looks something like a cigar and something like a submarine, and you put it in your mouth and sing into it. See, anybody can do it. No lessons necessary. You don't even have to practice. You can do anything you want. And this instrument has a lot of variety, too, depending on who's performing, a man or a woman, a high voice or a low voice, a good voice or a bad voice like mine. But today, we have a great kazooist to play for us, a girl with a really lovely voice named Anita Darien. Miss Darien will perform with us the last movement of a special concerto for kazoo and orchestra by the talented young American composer Mark Bucci. Now, Mr. Bucci calls this piece concerto for a singing instrument, but that's just a fancy way of saying what it really is, concerto for kazoo. Now, this is also the first performance anywhere of this remarkable composition, and I hope and trust it will not be the last. Thank you.
Well, now I have a few different instruments I'd like to try out on my own.
I'm so glad you enjoyed it, Jamie. And I hope all of you at home enjoyed it, too.
Oh, man, I can hardly wait to see what you bring next week. It's always a joy having you, Trevor.
And it's always a joy being here, Jamie. And thank you again to our sponsors, the Carter Family Charitable Trust, the EJMP Fund for Philanthropy, and other generous supporters just like you for your continued support to help us bring programs like this into the home of our listeners week after week. Thank you.
See you next time, everybody.
Wow, that was so fun. I wonder what we'll hear next time. Thank you for listening to WCRI's Classical Kids Hour. Gotta go. The concert hall doors are about to close. See you next time.
WCRI's Classical Kids Hour is sponsored in part by the Newport Music Festival with generous support from the Carter Family Charitable Trust.